Hello and welcome to You Should See the Other Guy, the podcast where we watch sequels and offshoots from the Kissing Booth franchise. And that I didn't think about what I was going to say for this at all. Anyway, hello, this is YSSTOG, and we are here to talk about the new rom-com Red, White, and Royal Blue. I am Jennifer.
About RWRB. I'm so sorry.
I am Samantha, aka the Lord of Shaman Secrets.
Well, I am Uma Thurman's Texan accent in this movie where she is president.
And just like Uma Thurman, it took you a second to find the accent.
And I am Sadie, the Prince of England's Hearts.
Oh, you are. You are, Sadie.
A new rom-com has hit streaming, and like the bat signal, we all responded to it.
Okay, I'm going to... Can everyone else cede the floor so I can give a very brief history lesson as to this story?
Please.
And this book. Okay, so this book came out in 2019, and it was very much it was much more heavy-handed in like the, this is obviously a fan fiction about if Hillary had actually won the 2016 presidency kind of energy, because the timeline would have matched up. It was right before the kind of like the 2020 election. And it's written by a non-binary author named Casey McQuiston. They have a really cool aesthetic. And when this book kind of entered the public space, it's become known as like one of the most popular like queer romance books of the past forever. Everyone's heard about it. Whenever you go on like book talk, especially queer book talk, it is like everyone's like, you've heard of Red, White, and Royal Blue. Here's some other books to read. Like everyone's just kind of assuming that you've heard of it, you've read it, you love it, et cetera, et cetera. A little known fact is that this was, I won't say that this was, it was originally a fan fiction, because I don't think that that's entirely true.
I've heard a rumor. Yeah. Something about The Social Network.
Yes. 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 So Casey McQuiston, from my understanding, they did write Social Network fanfic, and that heavily inspired this, but it wasn't actually like a published Social Network fic before
Slow
it became this.
Slow the wheels on down there for a second. You all are telling me that this was Social Network, like Jesse Eisenberg as Mark Zuckerberg fanfic?
Yes. So it was, I actually, in preparation for this, I rewatched the Social Network last night.
Your dedication.
I also think it's just a good movie. I see what, but it was originally inspired by fanfic that Casey wrote about Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin from The Social Network. And I'm not sure how that translated into this, because it is so different. Like, the tropes are entirely different. I guess their relationship is entirely different from The Social Network. So for me, it's a grain of salt, but it is worth noting that our lovely Casey McQuiston comes from fanfic background, and niche fanfic background, if I dare say so. I mean, Social Network isn't niche, but you know, it's not Harry Potter levels of fanfiction out there. I also have been reading. I'm doing much more research about this than I thought I had until now, and I'm laying it all out. And I'm reading a book called All I Need I Get From You. And it's about how fan fiction and fangirls created the internet as we know it. And I'm blanking on the name of it. Or the author, Caitlin Tiffany. And essentially the whole, I won't get into it, but the whole crux of the book is just that fangirls drive all creative fronts. and they have for decades. So that is the gist of that book. Anyway, that was just a fun little factoid. So all this to say, getting back to Red, White, and Royal Blue, which is what we're covering today on the podcast, by the way. It just came out August 10th on Amazon Prime. It's an Amazon Studios movie. We'll dig into that later, I'm sure. But it was originally a book that beloved by many. And so the expectations were very high with this book or with this adaptation. And it is about the first son. So the son of the president, the first female president of the United States.
Uma Thurman.
His name, Uma Thurman. Alex Claremont Diaz, who in the movie is portrayed by Taylor Zakar Perez.
Fans of the podcast will remember him as the guitar playing other guy from Kissing Booth 3, was it? Or 2?
I think it was 2
and 3. Like he stretched because he came back in the Wario costume during that Mario Kart segment in the third
one. Oh, God. Why do these memories have to resurface? They're too painful.
And so it's a romance between him and the Prince of England, Prince Henry, played by Nicholas Galitzine, I believe is how it's pronounced. And just kind of they initially start as enemies, kind of, and then they evolve into friends and they start a romance that it starts casual and then becomes not casual quite quickly. Who is that? Is that who
That's
is
little
that?
Not- Nala.
Little Nala, hello.
Nala says, Nala says, don't forget to say what the factors that are hindering, complicating their relationship, Sadie. It's amazing what a single meow can express these days, how sophisticated their language has become.
It's homophobia. What?
Uma Thurman's trying to get reelected, and the royal family can't harbor any homosexual princes on their schedules.
I thought I was losing my mind when that scene with the king started.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, so I'm going to circle back in a second of the main differences between the book and the movie, because some of the differences I don't mind. Others I felt like severely kind of damaged the emotional heart of the movie. We'll talk about it. But anyway, they start and it's very casual. So Alex is bi and Henry is gay as a maypole are his words in the movie. But then it becomes very much not casual. They become much more committed to each other, but there's still that overhanging, looming sense of I am very much closeted. Much more so for Henry's part than Alex. Alex goes away to kind of focus. So there's dual kind of plots that happen that are, again, much more pronounced in the book. So number one is their romance, and then number two is Alex trying to win the election again for his mom for her second term.
Wait, that does happen in the book or doesn't happen in the book?
It does. Oh, okay. And it's much more of a big deal. The book is quite long, so I understand that they had to cut quite a bit, but it's a lot more like that kind of hit. Like, I don't know. It's very much more tied up with the romance, and they spend a lot of the book with it. But anyway, he goes to Texas to try to turn Texas blue. And from his memo, I don't know what that means.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about the memo.
The memo. It's about the memo.
I'm Alex's memo truther.
It's just like step one, go to Texas. Step two, question mark. Step three, 40 Profit. Electoral votes.
Like, he definitely had a couple, at least a few, like, Microsoft Word standard clip arts put into that memo. Like, I fully believe.
He does Instagram lives. He goes places and he smiles and fills up a thermometer.
He is incredibly handsome. Like, So, Samantha, did you have any novel? Like, I didn't even realize that this was a book when I sat down to watch the movie.
Oh,
so this
is
all news to me.
I knew. In the world of LGBTQ authors, you know, Casey McQuiston, they got their bag, you know? It's what all of us want.
Yeah. I follow their Instagram. They're rolling in it. I want to be them so badly.
I can only pray that, you know, the Patricia adaptation moves forward so I can get a slice of that red, white, and royal blue money. Just a fraction of it, you know? But yeah, I was very much aware of its book status, but I have not read the book. And I'm kind of glad they condensed the political portion of it, it sounds like, because I can imagine not being super interested in that. Maybe it would have felt nice and palliative immediately after 2016, but these days it feels there's some copium happening. It's a little, anytime the movie tried to venture into like real world issues, like the casual mention of agribusiness or whatever, I was like, let's just steer clear of that and stay in the like special relationship, like diplomatic stuff. That's a safer playground.
But Samantha, Alex's dad should have been tougher on those agribusiness mofos.
Those agribusiness mofos. Oh, God. Everyone spoke like they were 23, which is a problem. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sadie, well, what more do you want to say about how things play out?
Well, to be fair, they are supposed to be like 22.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask.
It's a new adult book. So I think in the book, they're like 21 or 22.
This makes a lot more sense. Do you feel like before the rise of like HD television, it was easier to cast 30-year-olds as 21-year-olds? Or did we just do a better job of ignoring it in like the 90s?
I will say, I'll look back at book or movies in like the 80s and 90s, and I'm like, that is a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
They have a 5 o'clock shadow, and that is not a 12-year-old. It is not.
Well, that was my first impression, beginning the movie cold with no prior knowledge about the new adult romance novel origins, is that I saw Taylor Zakar Perez, and I thought, that is an extremely handsome man, and he looks 30 years old. And indeed, he is 31 years old. He is an extremely handsome 31-year-old man. I actually truly enjoyed watching this movie, just accepting the premise that Alex's character actually is a 31-year-old himbo who is just so handsome, and his happy nepo baby life of being the president's son has insulated him to the point that he has managed to get to this age and stage of his life like as
mommy me made memo. Mommy, look at memo.
Yes, exactly. And I loved it. I truly I feel that it strangely worked in the movie's favor for me.
The memo. Okay. So I'm going to wrap up the summary really quick. So it kind of reaches a head when it just starts becoming a little bit too real for Prince Henry. Alex starts to mention, did I mention also there's like a 10-minute sex scene? Like, it's rated P for porn. It was much more explicit. I mean, it's not, the book is quite explicit, but
Sadie, I believe you mean it's rated PP for polo porn.
That's rated terrible. PP
banned.
Oh, I feel dirty.
anyway, Henry gets a case of the cold feetsies, and he flies back to England, and then Alex chases after him after only like a week. And also throughout their relationship, this is mentioned very like infrequently, but they're emailing each other throughout this relationship that comes into play. So Alex gets to England, they reconfess their love, everything is fine, kind of, question mark. But then their emails get hacked. And it's implied that it is hacked by an old flame of Alex's, who is a Politico reporter.
Who was done dirty, who was the best character in the movie.
In his MSNBC.
They had to take him completely out of the running as a love interest there at the end and have him be a betrayer instead.
Oh, no.
But he deserved better. Jen! He deserves the headline.
Jen. I was going to say, Sadie, in his MSNBC interview with Joy Reid, they make him, like, serve so much villain. Like...
They He's make just him like,
I don't know who possibly could have leaked those emails, Joy. Like, wink. Like,
he's like, what are you implying? I'm like, sir, that's illegal. You're just like, ha, 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 ha. Tee-hee.
Well, shall we try to get Jen to... Oh,
I
Jen
returned.
Can you
hear me?
Wow. Okay. Wow. The ship righted itself. We were talking about the villain's MSNBC interview with Joy Reid and how, like, bitchy they made him in that scene.
But I'm like, that's like a felony. Like, he's just like... I'm a little gay.
Like I said, character assassination. He was done wrong. He was innocent.
So anyway, their emails get hacked. They aren't allowed to see each other or like connect with each other. It's a really big deal. But eventually they're able to connect with each other. Alex flies over to England. They confront Henry's grandfather, who is homophobic, kind of, and also Henry's older brother, who's also homophobic.
He's homophobic and the King of England. Let's also include that detail.
He's also the King of England. But then they see that there's like thousands of people outside the Buckingham Palace who are like showing up in support of Henry. And so then that's a nice moment. And Henry decides that he's not going to try to cover it up and he wants to be out. And then in the end, it shows that Alex's mom, Ellen Claremont, has won the election. And then that's the end of the movie, essentially. So, actually, I had one question. So in the movie, he says that his home, like where his key is in Austin. But I was under the impression that they were at the White House when they were watching. So I'm like, after they won the election, did they like fly to Austin and like get on? Like,
they were at campaign HQ. It's like common on election night for like the candidates to be in like a critical state because they've probably done like a last minute event there. And so they'll the returns from that office.
I thought that the guys had just hopped on their little bikes and just pedaled themselves down there.
Yes, this was in the book. I'm flipping back through and I do remember that. Okay.
I want to see the Secret Service people on the bikes just right behind them.
Yeah.
On a tricycle.
So what did you guys think? This was your first like introduction to Red, White, and Royal Blue. What did you think?
I would say it was largely sweet and inoffensive. That's kind of where I'm at. I think Taylor Zakar Perez is very handsome. We checked off a lot of romance tropes, and you know, there's a reason the book is so successful. Like those tropes are very popular for a reason. And largely, like, I'm just to be diplomatic about it, pun intended. I am just happy to see queer representation of this sort on this scale, even if that sometimes means Uma Thurman saying Truvada in a Southern accent.
I loved Uma Thurman saying Truvada in a Southern accent. I really did. I thought that I was a little bit ricocheting back and forth in my mind when the movie began. And then I just embraced the ridiculousness and enjoyed it quite a bit that way. It did lose me a bit by the end. It stretched on a little too long past that 90-minute mark, which is no go for me. I think they could have condensed like a few of the full songs that they played while our boys were like feeling angsty about homophobia at the end. But when it started out with the ludicrous like cake toppling scene, I knew that there was going to be like some value in this movie. I was into that. I think that they could have actually completely saved the ending for me if they would have like gotten gay married and had another cake fall on them. That it would have been perfect.
Oh my God.
But Sadie, we have not mentioned yet also like just so many like ludicrous things, like the, like sometimes there is some weirdly outdated dialogue, like when he hits his mom's assistant with the later when he's walking out because she rightfully doesn't want to read his memo when he is not an employee of the campaign. And when he screams the song of my childhood when Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys starts playing, and and then they have gazing into each other's eyes moments while everyone else drops to the floor.
Amazing. I was like, that is cinema.
Yes.
That is cinema. I was like, that is so good.
This is a positive, not a negative. I want to make that clear. But so I had a good time.
I think like legitimately the age thing was kind of an issue for me with the believability of the characters. Like,
I agree.
I feel like if they had found younger performers, it would have been easier for me to stomach some of the dialogue, you know, because Alex's lines especially were very much like, and now Prince Henry is one of my oomphies, you know, and like hearing like a 31-year-old say that sounds sometimes as awkward as me saying that. I don't know.
I did really enjoy the scene. I mean, and it's sweet that they still have this type of relationship, but where Uma Thurman is cuddling her large adult bisexual son and lecturing him about condoms because he is such a grown man there. It was very,
They establish his age beyond, like, I think they vaguely gestured to him being in college or something.
They said he was a law student at some point.
I don't know.
I have whole conspiracy theories, like, based on the movie version, not the book, which I'm not familiar with. But near the end of the movie, the dad, Alex's dad, makes an offhand joke to Henry about how, like, what do they teach you in those fancy private schools? Like, just say the word and I can get you in at ASU. And I sort of have a feeling that 31-year-old Alex's life is set up for him so that he feels he is like going to school and stuff, but really they just have some deal with like the school.
Wait,
where he goes like in and pretends.
A Truman Show situation.
When like, he gives his speech at the end, I really wondered for a minute if he was giving an actual press release or if Uma Thurman had just set up a room with a few fake reporters for him so that he feels satisfied without making the publicity situation worse.
Great speech. Don't look too hard at the Democratic National Convention audience. They're definitely not holograms.
Taylor Zakhar Perez was really majestic at playing a very a man with a dazzling smile but not much spark of intelligence behind the eyes, which I did find delightful, but
I think either age up the dialogue or age down the performers. Like, one of the advantage of genre cinema is that you can cast like virtual, you can cast unknowns, you know, and it's not like Taylor Zakhar Perez is a household name or whatever, but you can literally just like go to a shopping mall or like and find someone, like, because people watch for the genre. They are not necessarily watching like for the performer, at least kind of at first. I don't know. So I think that was my core issue. And also, I don't know if the book emphasizes this, but I'm kind of over like coming out plot lines also having to happen in a romance. Like, at first, it wasn't clear to me that they were closeted because they didn't yes. come out and say, like, these are their girlfriends or these are their
In fact,
dates.
They made a point that the women accompanying each of them were, like, a sister and a friend of, you know, like, the daughter of another politician, respectively. So, yeah. I definitely thought that Alex's character was out already based on his flirtation with the reporter.
So when we get to the point where Alex like has to come out to his parents, I'm like, wait, what? Like that hasn't happened yet.
So okay, this exactly because this is now the time where I point out the things that were missing from the book that I think overall made the movie worse. So number one, Alex does have his own coming out narrative in the book, but that's because he thinks that he's straight. Like, he's never identified as queer or like had whatever until he started becoming friends with Henry. And then he feels feelings for him. And then that's when he comes out to his mom. And so it makes more sense. So it's like he has a coming out narrative. So it makes sense that he's not identified as queer by the public at the beginning, because he really wouldn't have hit it if he had been, or if he had known. And then also the other element is that, like, so the emails were in the movie, but they were much more of like the connecting force between them. Like, they in the movie, it just shows them as having like kind of like funny little quippy like conversations in the emails, but in the book, it's much more clear how it could be very devastating and like violating. Like, there, it's like essentially like a big, like a book of like emails. And the other core part is in the movie, they decided to have the line "history, huh? That we could make some," said out loud when they're in the museum. However, in the book, in the movie, it's in the museum. In the book, it's in the emails. And that becomes like relevant, important, because later on when the emails are leaked, it's obviously this big and terrible thing. But when they like are finally like, I think it's Henry's mom who comes back and she shows them like that there are massive like demonstrations around the world of people holding up signs that say "history, huh?" And like how people have like reported the emails and are like trying to get them taken down because they understand the privacy, and like how there's big murals like being created, and like it shows the impact so much more of them.
But Sadie, did you not think that Prince Henry's speech about no longer being the prince of shame, Samantha, what's the phrase?
I will no longer be the prince of shame and secrets. I shall henceforth be known as the prince of Provincetown.
So that was a long-winded thing.
Sense that that would have a lot more impact in longer form in the book. It was actually when I was watching that, because they didn't show the crowds. Actually, you can just hear like, you know, the
I
sound
know.
Of cheering from like
I know, and I'm like that doesn't that was not an impact at all. And the other thing to your point, Samantha, is this felt like a movie that you could really only fully understand if you had read the book, and it's like that's not what an adaptation is supposed to be, you know? Like it's like you should, it's so clear in the books that like number one, Alex is quote unquote straight at the beginning, and like Henry is known as kind of like a like reclusive, but also, you know, he's kind of a serial dater of women and he's just very buttoned up, you know, all of these things.
Oh yeah, and like they just nodded at that briefly near the beginning when bless our himbo Alex with like Kennergy off the charts is like, but how can he be gay? He's always dating women.
Like, yeah.
Bless his heart. I just want to pat him on the head. This 31-year-old president's son.
Yeah, it was weird. There were so many points where I was like, this is such a big romance in the books. Like, it feels so like larger than the page. I don't know. I feel like this book has a special place in a lot of people's hearts because it feels so like, I wish that this would happen like so fucking badly. Like, like the actual ramifications of it, I feel like they, Casey nailed that. And like, I remember like sobbing over this book when I first read it. And like, I cry almost every time I reread it. And so I feel like, yes, it was very fun to watch and I really enjoyed it. However, it's not a capital, like it's a rom-com in the book, but it's also like very like intense, you know? And I feel like they just kind of whisked that away and then they kind of brought it in. It's like they got halfway through it and they were like, oh yeah, they do emails in the book. We should add that in, right? And it's like, that's the core of it being leaked. Like, I don't know. It was, it's a great candidate for a movie, but not just like a box issue rom-com.
Yeah. It sounds like the book has strong epistolary elements and that's hard to adapt. Like, they sort of tried something at the beginning where they're like turning into leaves and teleporting around each other's rooms to like illustrate them emailing and texting each other. But then, yeah, that element kind of disappears and just becomes like voiceover. What were they turning into? I kept trying to see.
It was leaves, I think.
Why was it leaves?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out what it was too.
What significance maybe, do leaves have?
Well, when they first started those scenes, it was supposed to be autumn where Alex was, right? Because there was that deeply disturbing scene with the turkey.
Yeah, when the leaves were teleporting behind the turkey cage, I was like, okay, I'm watching a streaming movie. This is, I mean, honestly, I think like it is somewhat hamstrung by like, you know, streaming budget and like production value. I didn't need to see an effect shot of like the Washington Monument, like on the balcony after he was like, talking with his dad. Yeah, I would rather them take whatever money they spent on that and pay 100 extras to be LGBTQ demonstrators so we can actually see like the impact of like Alex and Henry's relationship on them, you know, like rather than just like a matte painting in a glass window or whatever, however they like created that.
Also, two other things. So in the book, Alex has a sister. Her name is June, and June is Nora's character in the movie. Like June is the one who kind of has a little offside romance with Percy, Henry's friend. And then Nora's kind of like a queer kind of androgynous lesbian, she's just kind of like a vibe. And so in the book, they're called like the White House Trio. And I thought it was an interesting choice to cut June and kind of conflate June and Nora like into one character. Also in the book, Henry's sister B is not just like the little like gentle weight. She's like a cocaine addict.
Oh, damn. Let's put that in the movie.
Yeah. Like she's a recovering cocaine addict. And it like comes up. Okay, you know what I mean? Like interesting choices. I felt like they sanitized it in quite a few respects. Also, one interesting thing to note is that in the book, the evil king of England or whatever that tells them that homosexuality is wrong or whatever, it was a queen in the book. And I think
Queen's dead, Sadie.
I know. I think that that's interesting that they were like, well, now that she's dead, we can't
get Stephen Fry on the phone immediately.
Yeah.
We need a king.
I think they should have had introduced the cocaine subplot very late and totally unforeshadowed. Like he should have been like, what would grandfather say? And she should be like, buckle up and join me in the fast lane, Henry. And did a line in the garden, you know?
Yes, that would have, I feel like that would have kept up the cake smashing tone from the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
It did start out very, and I, again, reiterating that I love this. I mean, this is a positive thing, but the movie started out pretty goofy. You know, it was, and when he's like, got kind of serious.
Let's go do tourist stuff. And I was like, I just, that was such a bad line. I was like, God. Yeah. It's, can you hear the book pages like flipping through? I'm just.
Is it annotate? Have you annotated your copy?
Minimally. I've had this copy. Well, I bought it like the day it came out and it is beaten up. It has gone through like seven different like states in the United States of America. It's been dropped in the ocean, you know.
Which ocean?
Everything.
The Atlantic?
The Florida one.
I do feel like romance novels have too many characters. I understand.
That's true.
Why they would slash or combine people in the book. But yeah, like in contemporary romance fiction, it's often like, and here are my five best friends. And I'm like, oh God, am I going to have to keep track of all of these people?
I will also say, I always felt this way about the book is I wish that June had been not Alex's sister, but just another of Alex's friends, because Alex gives off such only child vibe. Like you know what I mean? From an only child, I will say he feels like an only child.
I agree.
Yeah.
And they might have that might have been a wise choice as well. I think to Sadie, maybe having her be a friend rather than a sister. That is such a thing. I know we've discussed this before, but people in romance novels have very strange relationships with their siblings. They talk about their sex lives with their siblings way, I was about to say way too much, but I, you know, that's not really something I have ever talked about with my sibling at all. So yeah, I don't know. I guess they want to keep like a tight cast and a tight circle. And so therefore you get the inflated numbers of friends in romance novels if they're trying to spread it out a little and not have people weirdly confiding about their shenanigans with their siblings. But we only got Beatrice and her secret cocaine addiction in this film adaptation.
Why was the trade deal with Great Britain important? Something that has like never been in jeopardy over the course of like the last century plus. I don't understand why that would be a political issue or like a campaign boasting point for Uma Thurman. Like, we're still doing trade with one of our like oldest diplomatic allies.
Samantha, she's got to be realistic so that her constituents can be idealistic.
The great people of Texas are just really invested in the trade deal with Great Britain. That's what got her across the finish line there.
And the Rust Belt.
Also, can I say something funny? Like when they're watching the news and someone on the news, they say something like unemployment is the worst that it's been in like 200 years. I was like, damn, that kind of sounds bad. Maybe she isn't like great at her job. Yeah. She just is gallivanting around focusing on trade deals with England and like how well she's trending in London. And it's like, girl, those aren't your constituents.
And also in real life, the Republican governor, whatever, wouldn't just be some bland Mitt Romney, like plutocrat. He would be like, we need to see the dick pics from Alex's laptop. Like, we need a congressional hearing on the emails, you know, like, it does feel strong, like post 2016 energy, especially because Hillary Clinton, like, lost the Rust Belt. And so it's like, we don't need the Rust Belt if we have Texas. And it's like, no, you do need the Rust Belt. Like, that's why Joe Biden, like, won.
like, did feel a little bit. Justin saw the end and started shouting when, like, what he was like, what universe is this happening in?
Yes. And of course. Where, like, the Democrats win Texas, but not, like, you know, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. She like, shouts out something about the problems of, like, a trans kid in Mississippi, but this is a world where Texas flipped blue and elected a Democrat to the White House.
Yeah. Yeah. IRL, the Democratic president would be told, like, I guess maybe since she's entering her lame duck era, she can be like, whatever. I won. She can just be like, free Truvada for everyone. I don't know.
Another thing that I'll say, and I'm more fuzzy on this than I would like to be, but from what I remember in the book, Henry, Henry mentions that he's like, I don't want to trade one prison for another, basically being like, I don't want to go from royalty to your life of politics, which makes sense, right? But then they don't broach that again at all. And I'm like, so is that still, like, going to happen? Like, are they just going to, like, fuck off and, like, do, because in the book, and again, I understand, like, 2 hours is not enough time to cram everything in, but they, like, in the book, he opens up, like, a home for, like, homeless LGBTQ youth in London or something along those lines. And, like, kind of, like, focuses on that. And then it becomes more obvious of, like, they're going to have their own, like, separate things that they do. I'm rambling. I enjoyed it, but there were parts that I was just like, damn, if you had just kept this in, or if you had just leaned into this more, or if you had taken out the budget for all of the bad special effects and put it into just, like, a little bit of not green screen, it would have been so much better.
The Washington Monument shot really was something. It was like a computer desktop background.
Should we propose some other guys?
Okay. Oh, obviously, yeah. The sexy reporter before he turns full villain at the end. That man, well, I kind of felt like Taylor Zakar Perez is sort of, he's just so handsome that people were flirting with him, even though this man is obviously kind of an imbecile, you know? And the reporter was committed enough to read the memo and pretend that he liked it and thought it was good. That's how badly he wanted to get in Alex's pants. And anyway, I liked the flirtation scene.
The memo was good, Jen. It won them the election.
Sadie, did you see the memo? Did you see that little folder he pulled out? He had glitter star stickers inside that thing.
Yeah, it was written in Comic Sans.
Did you read my memo? It's all in the memo, Mom. God.
I took the initiative, and, like, the mom's assistant is like, please don't.
I saw, hold on, let me find this. Let me find this Letterboxd review. It really just hits home for me. Where is it? Okay. Red, white, and royal blue is Notting Hill for those of us who have Andrew Garfield's Social Network monologue memorized.
So was Prince Henry supposed to be the Zuckerberg?
Ew. I think so.
Okay.
If... I don't know.
The guy who played him in this movie, actually, how do you pronounce the last name? Like Elways or something? Carrie Elways, the guy from The Princess Bride and Saul.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He looked a lot like he did when he was young, like Princess Bride era. Like, he and Taylor Zakar Perez were a hot couple. They were very handsome men. Taylor Zakar Perez also very invested in Prince Henry's height in this movie. He was convinced that he was, like, exaggerating some inches with 6'2". That was a whole thing at the beginning that kind of fell off.
Yeah. And they kind of carried it through because the whole time I was like, I can't tell who's taller. Like, I feel like they purposefully was doing that.
Have you all seen the forced perspective shot from an early Fast and the Furious movie that's made to make it look like Vin Diesel is as tall as The Rock?
Samantha,
no.
My favorite thing that has ever happened on a social media app is in late 2021, when The Rock was quitting the Fast and the Furious franchise, Vin Diesel made a post on his Instagram with a long caption beginning with, "My little brother Dwayne, comma, and then shaming The Rock about leaving the family. And but he had done an edit on it to stretch his head. So Vin Diesel's head, it makes up like half of the picture. It's amazing. I'm going to have to send it to you.
Sadie, you should look at it sometime. It's a classic image because I think Vin Diesel is probably like 5'6" or something. You won't find that on Wikipedia.
He is not as tall as The Rock.
Yeah. I would put Alex with, I think he should be with everyone from the New Year's party. I feel like his New Year's party should become a New Year's orgy. And that Alex should have like a purge style, like one night a year, he has sex 300 times and then he can go back to being like chaste campaign boy the rest of the year.
Writing his memos. Mm-hmm. I agree. And that's a good solution for him.
Henry, I don't know who to pair Henry with for the other guy. Not really a lot of options there.
Maybe Henry should be with the reporter and Alex can have his New Year's orgy.
Okay, or a friends to lover with Percy. His name is Paz in the book.
Is Percy? I thought Percy was gay when I saw Percy on screen, but apparently not, or at least bisexual or something. What's going on with Percy?
He is straight in the books, but he's much more like, he's just a vibe. Like he's a metrosexual, guys. I'm bringing it back. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Well, as we all learned from Uma Thurman, the B in LGBTQ is not silent.
I was laughing when I
Wait, Sadie, what did you text us about when they're in the little damage control interview and Henry makes some comment
Vicky.
About
That was funny. That I feel like captured like the essence of like who his character is in the books. And so my problem is that they were a little older. Like they were a little too old for this role, I felt. Like the core of it is that they're normal they're not teenagers, but they're normal like people in their early 20s who are in like really weird like positions of, you know, in the public eye. And it just kind of negates that impact when they're literally like so chiseled that it's like shocking to look upon them.
So I had not forgotten about our ordeal with the kissing booth movies during the pandemic when we covered those for this very podcast, but it all really came rushing back more strongly than I assumed it would when I saw Taylor Zakar Perez's face. And somehow I had forgotten, one of you said when we were watching the Kissing Booth 2 originally, back when everybody was doing Netflix parties because we were still in quarantine isolation, that Jacob Elordi and Taylor Zakar Perez are just the same guy in a different font, because they are like, sometimes I would see him and be like, where did Jacob Elordi come from in this movie? But no, it was Taylor Zakar Perez all along, except this time he got to be the Joey King of the movie.
Yes. If this were the Kissing Booth, they could have made it shorter by like putting 3/4 of the events of the film in like opening voiceover, like met a prince at a wedding, fell into a cake, mom won re-election, dad took on agribusiness, like just get it all out of the way. Oh god, not all fan fiction is created equal, and I'll take this over the Kissing Booth any day.
Absolutely. And, yes, seconded strongly.
Should we rate this film, this motion picture?
Let us rate it. Who should go first?
I'll go like 3 out of 5, I guess. I don't know. It didn't hurt me. It occasionally made me guffaw, and
fun rating system.
I'll take 3 out of 5 CGI fireworks on the White House lawn that I wish were spent on other things. Out of 5,
in a British children's hospital where the Secret Service agent apparently neutralized a child.
They should have brought that back when the fireworks go off on the lawn. Then we should cut to the sick British child setting them off. Like, he should be the, like, mystical, like, fairy, like, godmother, like, esque figure in the shadows who's been orchestrating the romance all along. See the hospital bracelet around his wrist. He's like, I've got to set off the fireworks at the right moment.
That child knew. The child saw how Henry was looking at Alex, set off the fireworks so that they would be trapped together in the closet and forced to get over their initial bad impressions of each other. Yeah. The child from the British hospital put this all together.
Yeah. Then he created a weather machine so that Taylor Zakhar Perez would show up rainy to the estate.
Taylor Zakhar Perez.
Thereby increasing his irresistibility.
Was wearing that Henley in the sluttiest fashion it is possible to. It was always unbuttoned to the last button and yanked open to show both collarbones, wetted at the top because he was out in the rain with no coat. Like, damn, he really was. He was coming back for Henry there. He was putting it all out there. Well, I had planned to give this movie a two stars because I wanted to use the rating scale of the two of them becoming so enraptured in each other's eyes that they forgot to drop to the floor during Get Low at the New Year's party. But I actually had so much fun laughing at all of the weirdnesses in this. And then I sometimes was charmed by the rapport between the actors, especially when they were doing their little banter back and forth, you know, and smiling at each other or, you know, touching the other one's hand with a finger. So I'm going to bump it up to 3 stars as well. So I guess we'll toss the turkey in there for the extra star.
Oh, okay.
Three
pardon turkeys out of 5.
That was going to be mine.
Okay, Sadie, I can take the house key that Alex wears around his neck that I was truly worried was going to chip a tooth the first time that they've
that
made
would
love.
Be an uncomfortable necklace, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Well, I don't even want your turkey anymore, Jen. I will do
good.
4.
It's my turkey now.
Very thoughtful, glittery Comic Sans memos out of 5 because it's just, I knew that it would be difficult for them to adapt this book. And I was just disappointed in the budget. And I feel like that was a big core of it. And also it's tough because I think that they did do justice to the characters. However, I don't know if it was entirely a right fit. However, I purely an extra star added just for the Vicky line, which
classic,
which kills me and it will kill me. I liked it. But I do encourage anyone who hasn't read the book and kind of liked the movie to give it a whirl and see what they think if they haven't read it already, which most people have. But if you haven't, like these two, try it.
I would guess it was filmed under COVID protocols still, too, Sadie, which may impact its feeling of scope or scale. Like,
That's fair. Therefore, no crowds to cheer at the end.
Yeah, everybody just has to look out windows a lot.
That sucks.
I was trying in the moment when the fake crowd cheering was happening to decide what the slogan the crowd was going to be chanting, you know, would be. It sounds a lot better in the book, Sadie. They actually had something relevant from the emails that's a snappy phrase, but I was just thinking something more along the lines of free the gay prince in the movie version, which also would have been amazing. I would have given them that too.
Jen, what international incident should our followers incite?
Oh my God. I don't know. What is even happening? Are we still manning our Twitter, now known as X, account?
I don't know. I have only used Twitter for DMs recently.
Find us via Carrier Pigeon.
Yes.
And we will whisper it. Hey, little mama, let me whisper in your ear. We will whisper in your ears as much as
Instagram.
We possibly can. Well.
Find me on Instagram at NEEBESS. Nebess.
Oh my God. I went to put a hold on the Red, White, and Royal Blue novel on Libby, and there are 145 people waiting on the 4 copies right now.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, here goes nothing. Maybe I will read this book within like 2 months from now.
Okay.
Yes. You can also still email us at ysstog@gmail.com and we
podcast.
Check our email approximately once every 7 or 8
yes,
months.
Yes, Sadie, we are on a podcast.
In our inbox when we do podcast. This we appreciate is a podcast. All of you listening, and we love you, and we are
glad to be here today
discussing this movie that brought us a lot of joy.
Texas big.
Even in ways
big
that may
Texas
not have
anticipated. State. Lots of people in Texas. Jen, can you not hear us anymore? Just goofing off? Okay, maybe Jen can't hear us. So the email address is ysstogpodcast@gmail.com. Sadie, take us out.
Vicky!